From awaytogarden.com and robinhoodradio.com, this is Away to Garden with Margaret Roach, your weekly invitation to dig in and grow.
Strange but true. Though I'd been following a vegetarian diet for decades already, it wasn't until just a few years ago that I finally mastered a really good version of vegetable soup. Now I'm gradually extending my repertory, and today we'll talk about just that, about variations on vegetable-based soups, plus ones with beans, and even ideas for mushroom soup, too. But first, this message.
Underwriting support from Timber Press, your go-to resource for books in gardening and nature. Whether you're a new gardener, a professional at the top of your field, or a reader interested in the wonders of the natural world, their books are there to help you grow. TimberPress.com.
Regular listeners will recognize today's guest, my friend Alexandra Stafford of AlexandraCooks.com, author of the Bread, Toast, Crumbs cookbook, and a mad collector of cookbooks and therefore possessor of recipe ideas galore. Hi, Allie. How are you?
Hi, and how are you?
Okay. So it's that time of year again. I can't believe it. It's like a year probably since we did our soup fest the last time.
I know. Yay. Yeah. Soup season.
Yeah,
so excited.
Has the kettle been on at your house?
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
I should say to people before I get started that those who use Instagram should not miss you at Alexandra's Kitchen. I think that's your name there, yes?
I think my handle is Alexandra Cooks, but if you searched Alexandra's Kitchen, it would come up.
Yeah, okay. And so because you do these really kind of epic stories, like in your cooking adventures, I assume some soup ones are going to be coming up soon, but they're great.
Definitely. I love doing the stories, the step-by-step process. I think it's helpful for people to just see how easy and, you know, fast things can come together.
And what I love is sometimes the soundtrack of your stories includes a small voice of one of your young people in your family in the background.
They're always around, sticking their finger, you know, trying to get in there somehow.
Yeah, that's the best. So so first, I don't know about you, but when I make vegetable soup, I don't really buy that packaged vegetable broth, do you?
No. And more I realize, and I have a great vegetable stock recipe that I love, but I, you know, if I haven't made it, it's just water is the best substitute. You know, it works just as well, and it doesn't add an odd flavor or, you know, some of those. So I've tried them, and to me, they just taste artificial.
Yeah, it's very off almost. Like it reminds me of when I was a kid and, you know, people had bouillon cubes, you know, and it's like, it doesn't exactly taste like what it says it is on the label. You know what I mean?
No, it can ruin. I mean, it can almost make it taste worse. You know, it doesn't enhance the flavor.
No. So save the money, folks, right?
I mean, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Do you use ever like your liquid from cooking beans or anything else a little less formal than a stock that you've officially made? Do you ever reuse anything?
I will always, whenever I cook beans, I store the beans in the cooking liquid. And if I have, say there's a lot of liquid, I'll, you know, say for chickpeas or, I mean, any bean really, I'll fill, you know, the quart container with the beans and make sure, I always save the liquid.
Yeah.
And then I'll use that as part of the liquid when I use the soup. But if I don't, if I don't have a ton of cooking liquid left over, I'll just use water.
Yeah. So tell me what's been on the stove at your house. Like, where do we want to begin? Because, you know, I have the basic, like my friend Irene taught me to make, which is, you know, it's basically your chopped up vegetables and it's water and it's, you know, but it's chunky, but it has a thin broth, you know?
Yeah.
So where do we go? Like, what do you want to tell us about kind of in this class on enhanced vegetable soups?
Well, I've had this list. I have a Pinterest board and so many books bookmarked, and I found at the end of last year I was just making the same soups over and over again. So I promised myself that when soup season arose this year, I would not make the same soups again. So the first one I made recently is this cream of celery soup that my mother had told me about from Joshua McFadden's Six Seasons cookbook.
Which, thank you for turning me on to that cookbook. He's a chef out in Portland, Oregon, yes?
He is, and I've made so many recipes from the book, and it's funny, cream of celery soup is something that I would have just breezed right by. It just wouldn't catch my attention, but my mom raved about it, and it was so simple and so delicious. It's essentially you melt a couple tablespoons of butter, slowly cook onion and celery together. You can add water or vegetable stock. I just used water. You puree it. You can keep it chunky if you want, but I pureed it pretty smooth. Add a little bit of cream at the end. But the best part is you make this little salsa with the hearts of the celery leaves. You plump some raisins or currants, some toasted walnuts, a little bit of celery seed, and you have this little fun garnish to eat with the soup, and it doesn't taste super creamy. And in fact, I used about half the cream that he suggests. So it's just, celery. It's like, how can celery be exciting? And it is.
Interesting. Okay, so that's one. And we'll give links with the transcript of the show. We'll make sure people either get the recipes or the links to whatever we talk about. So that's one sort of using the onions and the celery. That's a different kind of vegetable soup. And I guess it has a slightly thicker body, yes?
It is. It's nice. Yeah. It's not super thick. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can make it as thin or as thick as you like. You know, you can add more stock. But it's a nice consistency.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you've been making that.
I've been making that. I've been making a Melissa Clark seared broccoli soup recipe, which she wrote about. I can't remember if she first posted it with, you can use zucchini or you can do broccoli, but it's from, I think the restaurant was Franny's in Brooklyn, where the chef, he sears the broccoli or the zucchini so that it gets caramelized on one side, but then the other half is left fresh. And then and when I first read it, I thought, this is way too fuzzy. I'm not, I'm just going to roast it or I'm going to broil it.
Yeah, my head is trying, I'm like thinking like, okay, wait a minute. I've seared one side and the other side is raw. Okay, so we can visualize that. And so the idea was the yin-yang of flavor in one, right? Is that it?
Exactly. And so then in the end, you can add stock or water. I just used water, a little bit of potato, and you simmer it for a little bit, and then you puree it. You can leave it as chunky. You can leave a little bit of texture if you want, and you finish it with some lemon and Parmesan. And I was thinking, in the end, I didn't really get that sort of the freshness and the cooked
contrast.
Kind of balance.
Uh-huh.
It basically tasted cooked to me, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But it's not at all like any kind of, like a cream of broccoli soup that usually has gobs of cheese and tons of cream.
Right.
It really tastes fresh because it's mostly broccoli, and the lemon is so key at the end. A ton of lemon makes all the difference. And it really tastes for a broccoli soup, which is hard. I mean, it's a hearty bowl, but it doesn't taste like super heavy or rich.
You mentioned potato, and that's an interesting one because sometimes you see people talking about, and both with soups and stews, I guess, as well, the potato not exactly... It serves more purpose than it's not like a potato soup or a potato stew,
right.
But it's like it thickens and it does stuff. Tell us a little.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it adds some body, and I think that's something that you can do with so many different vegetable soups is add a little bit of potato so that it doesn't. I mean, this is going to sound silly. If you want it to taste like broccoli soup, but so that it's not just broccoli.
You know,
it's nice to have a little bit of other texture and flavor and body. So a potato can really serve that role because it's so neutral in flavor.
Yeah. So this is the, whether it does the trick or not to give both flavors, you thought it tasted more cooked. So the idea of the seared vegetables, as opposed to like sauteing your vegetables before or sauteing just your onions, garlic, carrots, celery, and then putting in your other, there's lots of different sort of protocols, aren't there, for building a vegetable soup?
Right, exactly. And some, what's interesting is this one, you want that caramelized flavor and color. That's the goal.
Right.
But in the celery soup, he has a note, Joshua McFadden leaves a note that says, do not let the onions and celery brown. And of course I did by accident. But
Oops.
It's more that to, I think you can either I think his goal with not having you brown the onion or the celery is so that it preserves the bright green flavor.
Yes.
Because my picture did not look at all like the picture in the book, which is, you know, brilliantly green and pretty and fresh. But the flavor is still, you know, if you brown the onions and the celery a little bit, the flavor is still going to be good. But exactly. But you're right. You can build flavors by slowly sweating the onions and carrots and celery and garlic, or by, you know, this other method of, you know, really searing them and giving them that that caramelized flavor. Hmm.
So do you, one of the things I do with the vegetable soup that my, again, which has like a brothy, you know, it's a thinner broth within chunks of vegetables, and it has broccoli as one of the important ingredients. But one of the things that I add, and I often use the water, as you were saying before, from cooking, is chickpeas. I put chickpeas into my vegetable soup. And I think that gives it like an extra sort of tooth, but also because, you know, they're firmer than the vegetables would be once cooked, right? And plus it gives it – it's more hearty, I guess, right? More filling.
Exactly, so, yeah.
Do you use – beans, or do you make bean soups? You know, that's kind of that's what I do with the vegetable soup, is always use chickpeas. I've occasionally put white beans in instead, but I'll have to say I've kind of failed with bean soups a lot of times. I've tried a lot, and especially black bean soup, and it's sort of gone amiss. I think I didn't know whether I was making a chili. I mean, I think you don't even know what the flavors.
Yes.
I was lost, and I almost wanted to, like, take chips and use it as a dip at the end, the way the flavor came out. It wasn't black bean soup exactly. I don't know how to explain that.
No, I know. Well, you know, black bean soup, I mean, it can be as simple as essentially just cooking black beans with some onion and garlic and stock and or water and some cumin. And I mean, black bean soup, I feel like it can be all about the condiments, you know, adding some pickled red onion and sour cream and cheese and scallions, and having that with every bite. Or it can be more about the soup and just garnishing it with a little bit of chopped white onion. I've been making the black bean soup from Cal Peternell's 12 recipes, and I had made it a long time ago and kind of forgotten about it. And then went back to it, because I think the same thing. I had made some black bean soup recipe that had lots of chipotles and adobo, and it was good, but it was kind of complicated, and I kind of had higher hopes for the effort, than how it turned out. But the Cal Peternell's recipe, what I love about it is there's an orange rind in it, and it's so subtle, and you wouldn't think that just a few strips of orange zest could come through in the end all the other strong flavors, the onion, the garlic, the cumin, but you really taste it in the end. And it's a fairly simple recipe. He has you cook the black beans ahead of time, and then you saute. So if you have your black beans cooked on hand, the soup will come together in, 30 to 45 minutes.
Right.
But the thing I learned about black beans recently, which was really funny, was through this Kenji J. Lopez Alt article on Serious Eats, which is about not soaking black beans. And
the endless debate, yeah?
Yes, no, exactly. And I'm a soaker. I like to soak beans. I like to brine them actually overnight, and I have my method of cooking them. But I saw on his site that, you know, you should not soak black beans. He had written some article, and then Russ Parsons from the LA Times emailed him and said, don't soak your black beans. So he did this very scientific comparison, and it was really interesting. And basically the conclusion is you don't have to soak beans. And he found that both flavor, texture were improved by not soaking the beans, and that the cooking time was only marginally improved by soaking the beans. So that was encouraging in terms of, you know, if you want to make black bean soup and you haven't soaked your beans, you know, you've actually, you know, you can probably put it together and more quickly than you think.
Yeah, you said you brine the beans overnight. Now, what does that mean? Tell me what that means.
I do. I love the Cook's Illustrated method. I do it more for, not necessarily just for to quicken the cooking time, but So it's essentially you soak the beans in water and salt. It's about 3 tablespoons of salt for, I forget how much water, but, you know, it's just fill a large bowl of water, the beans, and 3 tablespoons of salt. And then drain it, rinse it, and then cook the beans again in more salt. And I find that the beans just cook so nicely. It's more, for me, the process is helps the texture of the beans. They just always, they hold their shape better. And I find them to be very flavorful as well. But for something like a black bean soup where, and even this, like this Cal Peternel recipe, I'll always puree just a little bit with the immersion blender to give it a little bit of texture and body. And there's really no, you know, you don't need your beans to be perfectly intact for a, you know, a black bean soup or really any bean soup, you know. So
that kind of brings up the, and by the way, what I'll do is you said that the brining the bean thing is from Cook's Illustrated. I'll look for a link for that for people.
I have a link for that. Yeah.
Good. You'll help me out with it. But it brings up, and I want to make sure to get back to that orange rind because that's really good sounding too. But it brings up this sort of, even if you follow the same recipe for any one of these soups that we're talking about, you then have this choice once it's mostly cooked or cooked, is that you could puree some of it. You could puree all of it. You could leave it as a broth plus the solids. You can almost have it in 3 different ways, can't you?
Right. No, absolutely. It's really just what you know, your preference. If you like it really, if you like having a little bit of texture, just, you know, puree it partially. If you like it super smooth and creamy, you know, put it in the food processor and get it as smooth as possible.
Right. Is it your mother who despairs about pureed soups? Is it your mother?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. She says it's like baby food to her, which is so funny because she is the one who recommended the cream of celery soup. But I think that the salsa with that takes away the baby food texture.
Do you put beans in other soups? Do you sort of add them as an extra ingredient or whatever, or any?
I do, and it's funny you saying how you add chickpeas to soup. When I had the broccoli soup, when I had made it the other night, I had cooked some rice for the kids.
Yeah.
And so the rice was just on the table, and my husband and I found ourselves just spooning the rice into the soup.
Yeah.
And it kind of just, it was really good with the rice. You know, it makes it, again, just gives it more body and kind of makes it more of a meal.
Well, I actually, a lot of the soups that I do make, I end up eating them, you know, as almost like a bowl, a veggie bowl, sort of over rice, you know.
Yeah.
It makes it more of a meal sometimes. Yeah.
So you
said the thing about the orange rind, which I never would have thought of in that black bean soup recipe that we'll tell people about in more detail. But that's sort of an unusual, contrasty sounding flavor. And it reminds me, I know we want to talk about mushroom soup, and it sort of reminds me of the only mushroom soup I've ever made was the recipe from Mrs. Kastira, a.k.a. Big Martha, even though she was quite petite, my ex-boss Martha Stewart's mother, who was a wonderful woman. And I spent many good times with her, and she was a great cook. And, I mean, like her daughter, of course, as well. But she had, they're a Polish family, and she had a Polish mushroom soup recipe that was a real treat. We always loved, you know, the staff and, you know, friends when you would go there, if they would have that, that was really delicious. And so we all adopted, whether we were Polish or not, we all adopted Martha's mother's, Mrs. Kastira's Polish mushroom soup recipe. And the thing about it, why that orange rind thing makes me think of it, is because it was several kinds of mushrooms and vegetables and so forth, but it was dill. It was lots of fresh dill that changed the whole thing from the sort of earthy, mushroomy, you know, dominant taste. It was like at the end you put in all this chopped fresh dill, and it just was like, wow. Now, I know that's not as – you didn't do as much with the orange rind, but it's those contrasts that make something exciting.
Yeah. No, exactly. Have you been watching Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat?
No, and you know, I saw about it, and I. What did you do? Have you been enjoying it?
I've been loving it. I mean, I've watched it all. I mean, it was, you know, you can quickly binge on it because it's 4 episodes. But it, you know, she made me really think about. And she is, you know, if you ever feel bad about how much salt you add to something, you watch this because you will realize you're probably not adding enough salt. But I find myself thinking about the acid a lot, especially when I'm tasting the soups, that sometimes it will definitely taste salty enough, and it will taste fatty and rich enough.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it's just missing that brightness or the acid or the freshness. So
I can
see how that dill with something like a mushroom soup makes so much sense, because mushroom soup can be hearty and rich.
And at the end, you'd make, instead of a little pot, you'd make a roux, you know, a flour mixture to thicken it.
Okay.
But just before you put that in at the very end, you'd into the cooked soup with three kinds of mushrooms and the vegetables and so forth. And, you know, obviously the liquid from soaking the mushrooms and so forth, you'd put orzo and the orzo, you know, and that's something like
I
forget to have a box of orzo in the cupboard, because that's a great way to add pasta that doesn't get all flabby and mushy like egg noodles or what do you call
right.
it, macaroni elbows can get kind of mushy, especially if you reheat the soup. And the orzo keeps its texture.
Right. That sounds so good.
Do you have a mushroom soup?
Well, I made Deb Perlman from Smitten Kitchen posted on her Instagram recently that one of her favorite mushroom soups was from the Balthazar cookbook, which I have.
Uh-huh.
And it's, you know, again, just a recipe that I kind of skipped over. But I made it recently, and it was also another one of those recipes. You know, when I see things like buy dried mushrooms and soak them, they can be like a page turner for me, because I think, oh gosh, it's too much work. But it's so easy. Soak them, and you puree the soup, so you don't even have to chop the mushrooms, the dried mushrooms
exactly.
afterwards. You just throw them in. And it was really good. I really liked it. I found I needed to add just like a little bit, again, like that acid. I added a little bit of vinegar at the end just to balance out the richness.
Yes.
But it's mostly mushrooms. There's a little bit of cream. It's not a super rich soup, but it's those dried mushrooms. They make it so mushroomy, which
they
sounds
do.
Silly. But
they really do. It's amazing the color of the broth that comes off them after you soak them. Yeah. Well, we only have a couple minutes, and so what I want to say is, should we take a vote between the two of us? I guess it could be a tie, but I bet it'll be 2-0 of one of our favorite, if not our favorite, soup cookbook. Maybe we'll do a giveaway of that. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do. You introduced me to it. It's such a good one, and I am so grateful for you introducing me to that sweet potato and greens soup with sage, because that saved me with my winter CSA delivery of many, many pounds of sweet potatoes.
So yay to Anna Thomas and her Love Soup cookbook. So maybe, like I said, I think we should do a giveaway.
Definitely. I would love to do a giveaway.
What are you tackling next in Last Minute? What are you tackling next? Any soup on the sideboard? I mean, on the, you know, the counter about to be prepped?
I don't have one in the works at the moment, but I'd love to. I've never really mastered what it's like, the pasta fagioli, the beans.
Yes,
and
pasta. Good idea.
And I saw one recently, and I forget where. I'll have to look at my Pinterest board, but it has like lots of kale, and it just looked really, really, really good.
Talking about soups that are a meal.
Yes,
yeah.
Totally. Yes.
Yeah. Well, Alexandra Stafford, I'm sorry, I always call you Allie. Alexandra Stafford, I'm so glad to talk to you as always. And thank you very much for some soup inspiration.
Oh, thank you for having me. I always love talking with you.
Underwriting support from Timber Press, your go-to resource for books and gardening and nature. Whether you're a new gardener, a professional at the top of your field, or a reader interested in the wonders of the natural world, their books are there to help you grow. TimberPress.com.
Now, don't miss an episode. You can subscribe free to the podcast version of the show on Stitcher or iTunes. And you can find me anytime at awaytogarden.com or at facebook.com/awaytogarden or at awaytogarden on Instagram. Happy soup making and gardening meantime.
A Way to Garden with Margaret Roach is a joint production of awaytogarden.com and the smallest NPR station in the nation, Robin Hood Radio.